Trevor Roberts is a product of our children's choirs. And Wes Rampley, who leads our praise band, and he's out with the flu today, but he was also a product of our children's choirs. How important are children's choirs? Make sure you get your children there. They have trouble driving themselves legally. Well, I've been preaching on some messages, some subjects on morals and ethics, and this is the third of three, and this will be the last one, Mastering Your Mouth, two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, I talked about gambling. Is it right or wrong? And today, I want to talk about a subject that's very uncomfortable for a lot of people, and it's called the peril of pornography. And today, if you have a fourth or a fifth grader here and you'd rather them go to children's church, I encourage you to do that right now. Just take them to I don't want to say anything inappropriate, but you may not have had the talk with your parent, with your children yet. My parents never had the talk. So I'm on up in years now, and I'm still waiting on somebody to have the talk with me, but I haven't done that yet. So I wouldn't willfully, intentionally say anything that's inappropriate, but this is definitely another addiction that's plaguing our society, destroying marriages, Christian marriages, and also leading to people being fired from their jobs. So turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And this is a great filter for every one of us to use as born-again believers for what goes in our minds, what we see, and what's in our hearts. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If you have your smartphone, you have your watch, I just want you to observe it tick off 1 second. Every second on the internet, $3,075 is spent on pornography. Every second, 28,258 more people log on to pornography on the internet. 372 people are typing adult search terms every single second. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is created in the United States. 116,000 daily requests are made for child pornography. 4.2 million pornographic websites exist in the United States. 68 million daily pornographic search engine requests are made, which is 25% of all requests on the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, sex was created by God to be fulfilling between a man and woman inside the bonds of marriage. God created the Garden of Eden. There He placed Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God, and some people would say they spoiled it for everybody ever since. Speech, our communication, was created to be pure. But when people criticize other people, when people decide they're going to use profanity, they have perverted what is supposed to be pure speech. Now listen, this is not Baptist, this is not Methodist, this is not independent. But when you read in the Word of God that God created male and female, and then for the purpose of procreation, you read in the Word of God, when people choose alternative lifestyles, what they have done is perverted a friendship, same sex, that was supposed to be something holy and pure. Pornography is a sexual obsession. I want you to know it's a form of internal idolatry. when we think about that being internal idolatry, I want you to know that that person's Bible is the porn on the internet or the magazine. And I want you to know that their high priest is people like Hugh Hefner and others who create this filth. And I want you to know their God is sex and perversion. Let's look at the definition of pornography. This is from the 20th century. Pornography is that which exploits and dehumanizes sex, so that human beings are treated as things, and women in particular, as sex objects. Pornography leaves the impression that sex is unrelated to love, commitment, or marriage. Let me give you another definition. The commercial exploitation of sex designed to stimulate sexual excitement with special reference to abnormalities and perversion. Interesting, the word pornography is derived from two Greek words. We see the first one there is porne, and that word simply means prostitute. And then you see the word graphos, which means graphic. It means to illustrate or to display. So the word literally means to write about or to graphically depict. It means to depict graphically the use and abuse and perversion of sex in any form or fashion. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verses 3 through 6. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 6. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we have told you and warned you before. And down in verse 3, notice he says, we find the will of God for us, your sanctification. As soon as you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. As you expose yourself to the study of the Word of God, to draw in a more intimate relationship with Christ, the Word and the Holy Spirit molds you and makes you to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see here, he says, now if you're going to be sanctified, he says here, the Greek word, he said abstain. It means have nothing to do with certain things. Avoid certain things out here in the world. Now the Greek word translated for sexual immorality is sometimes translated fornication. It's also the Greek word porneos, where we get the English word pornography. And he says, have absolutely nothing to do with pornography. I tell couples in premarital counseling, be sure that both of you, husband and wife, have absolutely nothing to do with pornography. Now notice the emotional or psychological effect. Proverbs 23:7, very simple translation of that is simply this: as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, many supporters of pornography say this: what you really see does not affect the way you think. Now, I have a Greek word for that. It's hogwash. You look it up. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are going to watch Super Bowl today? Somebody told me that Warren Jones was suggesting, since most of you don't own any Falcons jerseys or caps, to go to Walmart today and buy you one. And if the Falcons lose, save your receipt and take it back for a refund tomorrow. Now that sounds just like something Warren Jones would recommend to our congregation. He's pretty tight. Diane would say amen to that. But listen to me carefully. Today when you watch the Super Bowl, the 30 seconds advertisements are costing those sponsors between $4 and $4.5 million. That's for 30 seconds. The 1 minute advertisements are going to cost $9 $1,000. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that those advertisers who bought those expensive ads think that what you see does not affect the way you act and what you buy? I don't think Doritos is spending any money on advertising this year, but they sure have in the last several years. What you see affects who you are, how you think, and what you do. Victor Kline, a clinical psychologist who has been in practice for many years, is an expert on the effect of pornography in the hearts and minds of young men and women, or whomever it may be. Here's what he says. There's several steps concerning the effects of pornography. Number one, there's addiction. Pornography is as addictive as crack cocaine. And once you're addicted to it, you never, ever are totally healed. You'll fight that addiction the rest of your life. The second thing I want you to write down is this. There's escalation. Once you've been exposed to it and you continue to do it, it takes more and more to satisfy your perverted need. The third thing he says here, then comes desensitization. That's when none of it seems to have much of an effect on you. And then what you see sometimes translates into conducting that kind of behavior upon someone else. Sometimes it's rape. Sometimes somebody is a predator towards a child. He said this, he said it is psychological poison. And Dr. Kline goes on to say the sexual drive in human beings is basically healthy. I'm convinced that sex is a great healing bond that pulls man and wife together and is therapeutic for a marriage, but I find pornography is anti-sexual and gives misinformation about sex. And then socially. There are between 260, listen to me carefully, and 280 monthly magazines that are published that cater to pedophiles. Did you hear what I said? There are 260 to 280 magazines in America that caters to pedophiles. If you have a child or a grandchild, you ought to be listening very, very carefully. The readers get their thrills by looking at the nude bodies of children 8 years of old and younger. Filmmakers and advertisers are now producing material depicting liaisons between children and adults. You can look it up. There's an organization called the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which advocates relationships, sexual, between young boys and men. In a study of convicted child molesters, 77% of those that molested boys said they were regular users of hardcore pornography. 87% of those who molested girls were regular pornography users. 86% of convicted rapists said they used pornography, with 57% admitting that imitation of pornographic scenes played a role in carrying out their crimes. Don't you note it destroys. God meant for this intimacy between a man and a woman is a way that we could express our love in the bonds of marriage. If a man or a woman saturates their mind with pictures of rape, torture, murder, and sex, how is a man likely to treat his own wife? And I want you to know that your family is not immune. Nationally, no nation will survive when it is sinking in a sea of filth. A man named J.D. Unwin, a British social anthropologist, spent several years studying the birth and death of civilizations. In his book, Sex and Culture, I want to read to you what he said. The energy which holds society together is sexual in nature. When a man is devoted to one woman and one family, He is motivated to build, save, protect, plan, and prosper on their behalf. However, when his sexual interests are dispersed and generalized, his effort is invested in the gratification of sexual desires. Any human society is free to display great energy or to enjoy sexual freedom. They cannot do both for more than one generation. History reveals that entire societies deteriorate when free love reaches a position of social exception. No nation in the history of all of mankind has survived the sexual deviancy. And I want you to know, America is not going to be any exception. Spiritually, pornography, like any other sin, drives a wedge between us and God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. Over in verse 4, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians, we find, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Pornography destroys the purity of sex. And the purpose of it all, God intended for sex for procreation and pleasure between the husband and wife. The Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not get burned? Now here's what we hear in society. Here is how pornography is defended by that industry. And by the way, Americans spend over $30 billion on that filth every year. I told you last Sunday that churches nationwide, people, Christians, give only $17 billion to churches for the promotion of the gospel. They'll spend $30 billion on pornography. Here's how pornography is defended in America. First of all, it is protected by the porn pushers as free speech. Now, those who say that pornography is protected under the First Amendment, but let me share with you that years ago, the Supreme Court ruled on this without any doubt that pornography is not protected by the First Amendment. Former Chief Justice Warren Burger, in the Miller versus California case, said, quote, this much is categorically settled by the court, but obscene material is unprotected by the First Amendment. But the pornographer is going to say, you violate my right to free speech, and no one can do that. And that's not true. You see, no one is guaranteed totally free speech in this nation. Lawyers will tell you, if you slander somebody else, what you say is not true, you can be sued and you'll lose. Now we have hate crimes and such speech that's called hate speech. You can cry out something that has something to do with somebody's ethnicity, and you can be taken to court and you can be sued successfully or criminal charges slapped on you and you serve some prison time. If you're in a public theater, you can't get up and shout fire and that not be true and not be fined or prosecuted. Free speech is limited when it harms somebody else. Second thing I want you to write down is censorship. The other side of the argument from the porn pushers is, if you get rid of our material, you're censoring us, and that is illegal according to the First Amendment. Well, I want to tell you, we actually practice censorship in our nation. How do we do that? Political science professor at Miami University in Ohio said, there's not a shred of empiric evidence to support the notion that censorship of obscenity or pornography threatens free expression of political, social, or religious ideas, or that it represses in any way freedom of the press. The real truth is that pornography is censorship of the true picture of human sexuality as created and defined by God. The real issue is not, do we believe in censorship? The real issue is what's going to be censored. Go to your public library. Go to your public school. Especially in your public schools, there are certain books that are not going to be on the shelves because the Board of Education or the principal or the teachers have deemed that to be unfit for our children to read. We simply have to decide what needs to be censored. Fourth thing I want you to write down is this. We need to defeat this. Now, how are we going to do that? We need to be informed about pornography. We need to be informed about where it is and how it gets here and how we can get rid of it. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, some of you are seated out there today and say, I don't have a problem with this. And this is a ridiculous subject. Some of you are out there saying, well, the pastor has no business addressing this issue. Do you know how we got in this mess in the United States right now? Because moms and dads have put their head in the sand about this issue and not had the talk with their kids. And churches have refused to stand up on this issue because they might offend somebody and lose some of their church members because this is not a popular subject. When the Lord convicts me that there's something that I need to address, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not trying to be prideful. I'm just trying to encourage you as Christian people to get informed and let's begin to stand up on these moral issues that are facing our children and our grandchildren in America. Our kids need instruction. We need to be teaching our young people, both at home and in church, about sex, the beauty of sex, and the purity of sex. We used to have a curriculum we taught every year called True Love Waits. We taught that every year to our teenagers. Stay pure till you get married. Must have been about 5 years ago, Delaney and I were in Ackworth. A young lady from our orchestra was getting married, and she married a great, great guy. I thought she was marrying somebody she was going to have to raise. Some of you ladies have seen guys that you have to take to raise, and he's a computer geek. We did our premarital counseling, and I thought, you're going to have to teach school the rest of your life, keep this old boy up. You know what he likes to do? He likes to invent computer games. Oh, what a waste of time that is. Guy had a college education and everything. He was working for a computer company in Atlanta. They were just doing okay. So the day of the wedding, the night before the wedding at the rehearsal dinner, they brought me two rings. And the rings looked like they were, you know, they looked like made out of like nail material. You know what I mean? Looked more like nickel. Didn't shine or anything. And they brought me two rings, a man and a woman's ring. And they handed it to me and they said, now, tomorrow at the wedding, what do we do with these? And I thought, well, wedding bands are usually gold, but you can have silver if you want to. But I said, well, how about tell me what those are? They said, oh, when we did True Love Waits in our youth group, we took a vow where we went to church and we wore rings until the day we got married, that we'd remain pure till we got married, and then we exchanged those rings with our spouse to let them know you're it. That's not in the minister's manual anywhere. Nobody had ever done that before. So while I was there, I give God a lot of credit for things, and I looked at him, I said, you know, during the service tomorrow, before we exchange rings, I just need to hold those up and explain the meaning of those rings before we swap your wedding rings. And by the way, her husband now works for the Blizzard Gaming Corporation out in the Silicon Valley. making millions a year, and he will retire at age 32. That shows you how much insight I have in premarital counseling. He's real high maintenance. Indignation. We ought to be angry at pornography. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." How many times do politicians do that in our nation? We ought to fight pornography wherever it exists. How you do that? You get in touch with your local elected officials. You stay in touch with your state officials. Last week, I shared with you about gambling. Guess what happened this week? Before committees with the House and the Senate and the state legislature, casino gambling. The lobbyists are trying to bring it to Georgia. And the only way it'll be defeated is if our state officials hear from us. Just Google them up. Send them an email. Send them a message and tell them what you think of it. Remember, Jesus drove out the money changers from the temple. How much more should we be driving pornographers out of business, out of our stores, and off our computers? Pastor, several years ago, Dr. Jack Hiles told about his children being in school. They were in public school, and he said, one day, his son, that was in elementary school, came home with a book. He said, "Daddy, I'm supposed to read this." And Dr. Hiles looked through it. There was blasphemy and profanity all through that. And he closed that book and said, "Son, you're not reading that book." So Dr. Hiles went to the principal the next day. And he took that book in there. And he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "I've looked at this book." He said, "Number one, my son is not going to read it. And number two, his grade's not going to be marked down for not reading this filth." The principal said, But Dr. Hiles, he said, "There's no buts about it. He's not reading this trash. And he's not going to be marked down on his grades for not reading it." And Dr. Hiles said that the principal called one of the teachers in from down the hall and asked the teacher to address Dr. Hiles. And here's what the teacher said. She said, "Look, your son's not going to read anything in this book that he won't read on the restroom wall at our school." And Dr. Hiles said this, and this is classic. He said, "Yes, and when you make the restroom walls required reading, I'll be back to see you again." I like that. Initiation. Churches need to get out in the front of the fight opposing sin and winning people to Christ. It's high time we stop jumping on the bandwagon and started driving the bandwagon when it comes to fighting immorality and sin in this country. Edmund Burke said years ago, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do absolutely nothing." And that's what we're doing as churches in the United States. Zero. Now, if you're in this addiction, you're in trouble. There is only one porn licensed practicing intervention counselor in Rome and Floyd County. Only one. Number one, memorize the Word of God if you find yourself in the sin. The Bible says to flee evil. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." What you see and what you digest will influence your behavior. Get the Word of God in your heart. Number two, personalize the Word of God. Verse 12. "Praise is to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees." You don't read this book so you can win theological arguments. You read this book so you can have a more intimate relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number three, verbalize it. Psalm 119:13, "With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth." When the word comes out of your mouth, there's something that keeps you pure. And when God's word moves from the heart to the lips, then from the lips back to the heart, you're on your way to overcoming. The FBI has found that 41% of those convicted of sex crimes, they were addicted to pornography. 90% of child molesters admit, listen, 90% admit to be addicted to pornography. Today, 21% of youth ministers and 14% of pastors in pulpits across America are addicted to pornography. James chapter 1 verse 15. You'll find that porn makes a woman an object of lust rather than a woman made in the image of God. How serious is this addiction? One man who was just destroyed by pornography wrote this: I am an emotional invalid. My addiction to pornography paralyzes my spiritual life, perverts my view of the world, distorts my social life, and destroys any possibility of God using me, and I just can't stop it. Lust eats me up, yet it doesn't satisfy. Pornography promises me everything and produces absolutely nothing. We'd never ask for people to confess. I would never ask anybody to raise their hand. But you'd be surprised at the people in our own congregation that are fighting this addiction. I want you to know that all pornography is designed especially for those 18 years of age and younger. Why is that? Because they'll be hooked and customers for life. Delaney and I had an experience we're never, ever going to forget. We were in our first church. Now, I had two big misconceptions. Number one, I thought since I was their pastor, everybody would love me. I was a disillusioned person. Number two, I thought you could trust everybody. As Barney Fife would say on Andy of Mayberry, that's kind of naive of you to believe that. Kind of naive. People from Booger Hollow Road knew what I was talking about. But our next door neighbor, I'm just going to call him John, that wasn't his name, but he taught in a local school. He taught vocational education. Some of you remember what that used to be in high school. His wife was a secretary at another high school nearby. He had two sons, both of them college age. Those boys are just country boys. They were always up to something. But I want you to know John is one of the nicest men I ever met. We don't do this anymore for obvious reasons, but we used to have open house every Christmas. I hated that. Elaine cleaned for a month. And then she let everybody come over, and we had the dining room table full of food, and the whole house was open for everybody's inspection. We quit doing that a few years later when we found somebody going through our chest of drawers. We thought, that's the end of this. But everybody enjoyed it. I want you to know John was an excellent cook, and there wasn't anything he wouldn't do for Delaney. He would help prepare all this fancy food, help serve that day. He was also my substitute organist. He was blind in one eye. He couldn't read music, but he played by ear, and he just chored that thing to death. Also, when our secretary was not available, he typed up our bulletin and ran it off. Now, the bulletin was usually hot when you got it on Sunday morning because he had just run it through the print machine. He was a last-minute guy. He served on city council. Are you listening to me carefully? He was the president of the South Carolina Educators Association. One of the finest men I ever met. We've been gone from the church about 6 months to another place of service. And we got a call from the neighbor that lived on the other side of John. They said, "We're not. You don't believe what we're going to tell you. Between Columbia and where we lived, John was caught in a vacant house with a 16-year-old boy involved in very inappropriate behavior. He was arrested. South Carolina Law Enforcement Division investigated. That wasn't his only victim. It was a whole line. He was sentenced to prison, Columbia, South Carolina. He served probably 5, 6, 7 years, and then they said he got sick. Well, that would be AIDS. And they sent him home, and about 6 weeks later, he died. I noticed every now and then, when I was his pastor, he would tell some kind of smutty jokes. Guess where all that behavior began? If I had to speculate, pornography. And you see, that's how pedophiles act. They want to earn the trust of the gatekeepers of your children, the pastors, the children's ministers, the teachers at school, the neighbors. They want you to think they're the finest people in all the world. And then the next thing you know, they become a predator. And that victim never, ever recovers totally from that attack. Pornography removes what God created for man and demotes it to an animal level. Delaine said she listens to Christian radio a lot. She heard a debate going on about abortion the other day. And while they were doing that, a veterinarian was interviewed as well. He said that in his state, if he aborted a puppy or a kitten, he would face prison time. But he said, we can go to the 9th month in our state and somebody abort a baby, and that's a choice, and there's no penalty. It's not against the law. In our nation, we have begun to worship the created rather than the Creator. And we've elevated animal rights above human rights, where we're supposed to be the masters and lords over animal life. At what point are we going to draw the line in the sand and not back down? We're Christians. We've trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. We're overcomers. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's no excuse for our being involved in this kind of addiction. Absolutely not. The perils of pornography. Are you going to have the talk with your kids and your grandkids? You got it in your computer? You going to get rid of it? The magazines? Some of them could just be stored in the attic. They need to be burned. You need to get in touch with your state legislatures and also your representatives on a national level and be heard. Number one duty of a Christian is to lead other people to Christ. Number two, stand up for the principles in the Word of God. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the